listen, think, learn, grow. Listen, think, learn, grow. Live, live, live.
This is the Spirit of Life Metaphysics Radio Program, exploring science and spirituality.
Good evening,
with Dr. Michael Kelly and Dr. Vicki
Wednesday,
Hunter.
August 13th. My name is Michael Kelly. I'm here with Dr. Vicki Hunter.
Well, good evening, Michael. You know, as always, I'm very happy to be here.
As always, so happy to have you and happy to have those joining us live as well. Always appreciate seeing you. And always want to throw a shout out to those that catch up with us from the archives. Spirit of Life is a weekly service and educational program of the International Church of Metaphysical Humanism. Our mission is to explore and empower the human spirit, as well as to explore science and spirituality. In addition to this broadcast, ICMH offers other educational programs that can be found at metaphysicsinstitute.org and tfuniversity.org. As always, we'll begin tonight with our 9 abbreviated principles of belief. Those are 1. Do no harm, do right. 2. We believe in the indomitable power of the human spirit. The answers we seek already exist within us. 3. We believe that we alone are responsible for and capable of solving human social problems. 4. We are all equal. One planet, one race, one ancestry, one destiny. 5. We recognize and honor the divine energy that exists in all living things. 6. We are physical and spiritual beings. Consciousness survives death of the physical body. 7. Self-acceptance, self-responsibility, and respect for free will create self-completeness. 8. Metaphysical education and practical life skills empower the human spirit and enhance the human condition. And 9. Expanding human consciousness leads to human evolution and peaceful coexistence. So, tonight, nice little addendum to last week's topic with Dr. Doug Kelly. We're going to be talking where that was, how to take your power back. Tonight we're going to be talking about what does it mean to give your power away in the first place? What should we be wary of? What should we be looking out for? So I believe you have a 45-minute speech prepared, Dr. Vicki. Go ahead. No, go ahead. You're free
You're
to go.
You're giving all your power away, Michael.
Touché.
You know, this is just it. You know, we can talk about take your power back, and for very good reasons, I might say. But we kind of miss the points about when we're giving our power away. Mm-hmm. And it's usually very subtle, you know. And I really want to make it clear that there's a difference between don't sweat the small stuff or moving over to not a compromise so much as concessions that we make because, you know, let's say you're cohabitating, you know, somebody likes things done this way, you like it done another way. You can find, you know, amiable ways to work that out.
Mm-hmm.
Like somebody can say, okay, I'm going to take care of the dishwasher, you know, no problem. Or I'm better at washing the clothes and drying, but you've got to fold and put your own away. No problem. Like that's, I think that's just partnering and finding out how you work together as a team. But when you give your power away, I think it can be summed up as simply something you really love to do or something you really love to wear or something that you want to have really bad and can afford it. And somebody else says no and you concede.
Right.
And I think it's so subtle sometimes that we think, oh, it's just a bad mood or it's just a silly thing. But that's when you're giving up a part of yourself, you know, that or even adjusting your temperament to suit somebody else. You know, that's a big one, actually, where I have to watch what I say, watch what I do. That's giving your power away.
Yes, but I think in the extreme it is, yes. But I think And I think we all do that to a degree in terms of maintaining social cohesion, like in the workplace, amongst mm-hmm. friends and what have you. You know, pick your battles type of thing. But even in relationships, I think, you know, there are things that I do when I'm, you know, in the house by myself with the dogs. I like, you know, the goof, the fool, you know, obnoxious, be loud. Things that I wouldn't do if my partner was in the house with me because I don't want to be annoying. You know, I'm going to be loud and, you know, sing off key and stuff. But, you know, I think so. I just want to throw it out there. I think we're really talking about when you lead to an extreme where on a day to day, you know, it's like, I can't touch this subject. I'm walking around on eggshells. I'm afraid they're going to, you know, blow up at me if I say the wrong thing. That kind of thing, I think, is what we're talking about.
I think what you're doing, though, is being sensitive to a shared space.
Right.
And that, I think, is a good thing to do. You know, you're like, you go and read the room.
Right.
You know?
Right.
But I think the subtleties are even much deeper than that. Yeah, I don't like that red dress.
Mm-hmm.
Which really means take it off, I don't like it. Wear something else.
Right.
But I really like this red dress, you know? And you're doing something to suit somebody else, not find a place in a shared space. Now, maybe it's just not a big deal whether or not you wear that dress. You know, there's always preferences. You know, I really like the blue suit instead of the black suit. You know, depending on occasion, suitability, you know, or preference.
Right.
And again, when you go to work, you're not giving your power away when the boss gives you orders that you disagree with, but it's just okay if you want it that way. That's the boss.
Right.
So that's, I don't think that's giving your power away.
Right.
I think that's, you're the subordinate. They pay you for doing a job. They want it done that way. No problem.
Right. And I think that goes back to something that I've heard a lot in my life, but I'm sure my father got it from someplace. The, when it's preference, yield, when it's policy, law, or principle, stand firm. And I'd like to point out that policy, law, and principle don't always align. I think that it's a balance that we all have to find for ourselves. But Lord knows it's easy enough to find an example for anybody, you know, of when a law is deemed to be immoral. I don't care where you stand. You can point to something that a government around the world has done that's been a law has been moral. So, you know, it is a subjective world. I mean, it's a mix of both. Like, I think we can all agree that slavery is wrong, right? I mean, you would think.
Yeah. Well, I think, though, there's so much dysfunction that people don't know they're dysfunctional. Or there's so much unkindness, people don't know they're unkind. But even when people are partnering, I think it's how then do you be sensitive because you want it to work out. And I think when we approach things based on a need versus knowing who you are and a want because it suits you, I think that's when we make an error. And I've done it myself, Michael. Entering a place or a relationship where, yeah, I really need this in my life today. Okay. But a year or two, 5 years goes by and you say, I don't have those emotional needs anymore or those other needs anymore. And then you start seeing what's wrong, how much of yourself you gave up in order to have those other needs met, which, you know, that's cognitive dissonance, right? And again, how much are we willing to give up in order to satisfy a primary, at least at that moment, a primary need? Because what's really primary other than, you know, shelter, food, clothing kind of thing? But it's subtle. Jeez, I think people who are and have been in very dysfunctional relationships fairly look back and say, there was a flag. You know, that I bent over, or I broke my rule. Mm-hmm. And we all have rules. We think we do. Until we get into a relationship or a place where We're willing to bend that rule to better understand something or to fulfill a need. And things you might put up with in other people. You know, the best way, really, to know how somebody's going to be with you is to look at them when and how they treat, let's say, a server in a restaurant. Or, the cleaning lady at work. How do you treat all people is an indicator of how they are later going to treat you. Because you will be the subordinate as well. And that could be male or female. I'm not picking on men here. Because I've seen women do this too. Feeling that there is an edge of I know best. I'm superior. I'm more intelligent. I get to call the shots. And usually it's all fear-based operation. But I want control. A want of control comes from a fear. A fear of not having control, of course. Mm-hmm. So the need to control others. And we can all fall into that trap. And I don't care how smart you are, how together you are, how solid you are. You can still fall into that. And I don't think anybody is immune to it, honestly. We can 100%. All say, I'm really together and that would never happen to me. Well, bite your tongue.
Well, you know, that kind of comes back around to the idea of free will, right? I mean, it depends on how you define free will, and I know this is kind of maybe an odd turn to take, but, you know, bite your tongue, I would never do that, right? Well, you don't know how you're going to react in every variable situation that's going to come down the line in your life. There are too many variables for us to all see. And because sometimes it is the events in the world around us that dictate a lot of what we do. I'm sorry to say, it just is the way. You know, some people will say, well, that means you don't have control over your life, and that means you don't have free will, right? But of course, it's a mix. There are always going to be influences. Vicky, you can't hear this because it filters it out, but the dogs are just having a ball behind me. It sounds like a dog fighting ring, but they're all having a good time. Ironically, the loudest miracle is just laying here next to me while the boys are having a wrestling match in the hallway.
Party.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But anyway, go back to the point is, you know, there's just going to be things that we can't control. So frankly, you know, we all hope that we're going to behave a certain way in a situation. We all hope that we're going to stand resolute in the face of whatever is going to try and take our power. We all hope that we're going to always listen to our better angels. But until we are faced with the scenario we don't truly know. And I think you're absolutely right in putting that wisdom out there. You know, don't get too cocky.
Well, you know, I've known lots of folks who, you know, you can go to the self-help courses and the weekend retreats and read all the books and do all the studying, and you really think you've got it, your poop together. The minute you see somebody you really like, you start dating. And it's all out the window because now you are triggered. Because you can't know about something intellectually without the emotional processing. And, you know, very often when somebody's trying to process something in a relationship, I say as long as it's not violent and it's not hurting you, process through while you're in the relationship so you don't do this again. You know, it's... Because it's not, and understand me clear, it has to be a non-harmful relationship. But start seeing that dysfunction from a very different point of view. So it's really about changing the mindset, your worldview, like a paradigm. And very often all I'm doing is giving people another way of seeing something.
Yeah.
Here's an example. I know a couple who've been dating for a year, year and a half. He's very wealthy and retired. She's still working toward retirement. He has no mortgage. She has a mortgage. Now, he claims he's very serious and sees a future for them together. But he wants to manage her finances so that she can be independent.
Yeah.
Now, she thinks this is great because no guy has ever done that for her. It's brand new. This is like, wow. You know, he's really interested in my well-being, wants to know I'm always taken care of.
Right.
And I'm listening. And then I say, that's a guy who doesn't want to take care of you. Because
yeah,
he's got boatloads of money. and literally boatloads of money. She has a mortgage. She's only got 5 years left to work before she can retire. He wants to do a lot of traveling. If he's serious about the relationship, pay off her mortgage, you know, and take care of her, because that's what love does. So, yeah. Although she thinks she's 10 steps ahead of where she was from past relationships, she doesn't see the, and I don't think he does either. He thinks he's doing a good deed, but that's him not offering up. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
So you're serious, but not really serious. And of course, he has given her these lines. Well, if something ever happened to me, I want to know you're okay. Well, if something ever happened to him, she inherits all the money if they're married. So what's he worried about? So he's finding a way to bail out and not feel bad. In the event of bailing, he wants to know she's in a good place and he took care of her. He made sure she had everything set up in her life. What a hero he is. And those are little flags in my world.
Yeah.
Because to me, how love behaves, because we decide that.
Mm-hmm.
We decide how love is going to act. It's not an automatic mm-hmm. that we know how to love people.
Right.
It's like, I saw a video just a couple of days ago, and I'm not picking on folks, but I am, you know, white nationalists, very Christian ministers, talking about women are good for reproduction and that, you know, doesn't take much of an effort, you know, and women have a place in the home. Well, there are women who buy into that.
Mm-hmm.
And okay, I'm going to say this sarcastically, that bless her heart, bless their hearts, because that's what they know, and it's satisfying for the moment. 5 or 10 years in, when they have to ask for $5 for a loaf of bread, when the bread is $10, you know, she has no power at all.
Right.
And because that's what happened.
Right.
And this was the whole point of the women's movement over 100 years ago. You know, I mean, longer than that, if you want to know. And so we're turning things a little backward, but there are people who think that that's fine and acceptable. So here's my point too, Michael. If you're in a place where that is acceptable to you and you're awake to it, cool. I've seen, been around dysfunctional people who thought they had the wool over my eyes. And I take it once, I even take it twice. But I'm conscious of it. And it's going to happen again, a different expression of the same way. Yeah, we're not going there.
Right.
And I've had men tell me, you'd be a hard one to tame.
Huh.
Well, why would you want to do that? And another fellow I'd known for like 40 years said to me once, just a number of years ago, well, you're really hard to get along with. Well, I said, okay, explain that to me. I'd like to know.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you just know what you want. Yeah.
Right. As if it's a bad thing.
And he's trying to tell me what I should do to take care of my snowblower. And I listened. Now, I've been operating a snowblower at that point for 10 years. And I said, you know, I hear you. But if we were a couple, which we're not, but if we were, and you were giving me that kind of a lecture, I'd say, you go do the damn thing yourself.
Right. Right.
And he said, well, there you go again. I said, no, you started it. And those are those little moments, though, where I say they're so subtle. Somebody thinks that they're an expert on something. Could be operating a bread maker. And they're going to give you a big lecture about how to operate it. And, of course, you're there rolling your eyes. But you take it, you know,
mm-hmm.
and you let it go. That's a moment of losing your power. So that's because you're giving up.
Right.
And now, again, when it affects your life, I had a landlord for years Every 6 months, because there was a tenant downstairs, every 6 months he'd come and adjust my thermostat because he needed control over the thermostat. Every 6 months he'd come and explain to me it's colder downstairs because heat rises. Now, he's a landlord. I'm old. I don't care. And I go, wow, I'm glad you told me. Good to know.
Wait, are you saying that heat actually does rise? Oh, my God.
Funny. But, I mean, it happened every 6 years and or 6 months, and I was there for 9 years. He has this need to some of us call it mansplaining, but...
to be fair, you know... I worry
that's
about,
what I'm saying. Yeah. And then I don't care. If he's, you want to mansplain away, you knock yourself out. Because I don't care. I don't need to complete. I don't need to tell you I'm clever or smart.
Right.
I pay the rent. You're the landlord. But that's where, in a relationship, it's tough, you see? Because somebody needs to be smart, clever, and know more and better. And the other one is left saying, well, I need to be smart too, but where am I smart? And the competition starts.
Mm-hmm.
So when we say take your power back, it's just knowing who you are. And again,
right.
I'm going to reiterate here. If it's something you don't care about, shrug it off. That's the way they are. But there's a point when it can become harmful. When it's emotionally abusive. And we don't even realize that's happening to us. It's quite crazy how that can happen. And I think there's a lot of people listening who can absolutely relate to what I'm saying.
Yeah.
It's very subtle, starts out great, especially in narcissistic relationships. You know, people who are abusers. Now, I'm not going to pick on men all the time because there are women like this also.
Oh, for sure.
It all starts out wonderful, and then it starts taking turns. Well, once it takes one little turn, she's going to flip in and around on you.
Mm-hmm.
I hear your dog right up at the microphone now. That's funny. So I think I just wanted to, you know, I really like to reassure people that I don't care how smart you are.
Right.
You still, it can still happen to you.
Yeah,
and
for
that's
sure.
Why it's important to stay awake to yourself and the dynamic with others so you don't lose who you are that gives away your power.
Right, right.
Because it happens.
It does, it does. But, you know, I've been thinking about a few things, and first and foremost, you care about how smart I am, though, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, good. joking aside, you know, I'm still going to joke. With my girlfriend, I warned her, you know, sometimes I don't want to ever come off as mansplaining. I try not to. I have a touch of know-it-allism, and I talk to men the same way. Like, you know, I take my glasses, push them up on my nose and say, well, actually, did you know soccer was actually an English term? This was an abbreviation of associated football. But no, anyway.
Yeah, but Michael, if somebody who's very confident and secure in themselves
right.
is going to look at you and see the humor.
Well, yeah, but I mean, I do, like, I don't know. I'm the kind
that's
of guy
that
when somebody says, oh, you know, it's that's a Frankenstein, you know, like meaning the monster. I'm like, well, technically it's Frankenstein's monster. Like, shut up and smack me. But the other thing I was going to say, and jokes aside, is, you know, when it comes to, like, the whole money thing, that can be a little tricky because money is power. And a lot of people, you know, I would also see the other side of the woman in that story that you were talking about earlier with the, you know, well-to-do partner that mm-hmm. wouldn't want to cede that perceived control, you know, mm-hmm. to that degree. But then again, is that really a trusting partnership? I don't know. There's layers. There's layers to it. And that's all I wanted to point out is that it's hard
sure
to put
there are.
A blanket rule down on because, you know, there's layers to things. But I think essentially what you've been saying, I completely agree with. You know, be your true self is, I think, the core of this, right? And don't...
Well, and she is a client, and what I did say to her is, why are you trying to be like him or compete with him? Just live your life as you know how. And maybe he has some advice that you'll take into consideration. But the rest of it is, because she's feeling insecure with dating somebody who's very secure in all of his financial whatever, and can mm-hmm. come and go and do as he pleases. And right. I said, well, you're not there. I mean, just be who you are. Part of how you take your power back is stop comparing.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
And he doesn't need to give you that kind of advice. You can just say, thank you very much. I'll consider it.
Right, right.
And then let that go. But stop thinking he's in your best interest, you know, or because it's just a whole bunch of words. And you say, well, thank you very much. But to me, if somebody has boatloads of money and they're going to give me advice about money, well, just give me some of your money and it's taken care of. You know, and I kid you not, I was a, as you know here, everybody, I was a single parent for 20 years. Raising three kids by yourself, minimal, nominal, if any, child support. And also self-employed, I took other jobs. I had a couple of friends, quote-unquote male friends, who at different times within like a two-year period, who were very wealthy, they knew what they were doing, you know, would always give me financial advice. And I said, why don't you come and sit down and talk to me about a budget? I'll take you up on that. Well, good idea. I will, because now they can, you know, it's a knight in shining armor kind of syndrome where they're going to say, give you advice. So both each time, the same thing happened. Okay, what's your rent? What's your groceries? What's your this? And what about your clothing allowance? I said, what clothing allowance? Don't have one. Well, now you need life insurance and you need this insurance. What life insurance? Don't have one. So by the time they come up with, I should have like $5,000 a month to live on, and I've got three, both of them did the same thing. Shook their heads and said, I don't know how you do it. I said, well, then leave me alone. Because no, when you're struggling to get by, you have right. to take a whole bunch of stuff out.
Oh, yeah. I mean.
And so don't give me advice about money and how well I should be doing.
Oh, you know? Exactly. You know, I saw this one article. It's going back, you know, a couple of 3 years, but they were talking about how even people that are very affluent and make six figures, they have to live paycheck to paycheck. And this one guy was talking to NBC, and he was talking about how, all right, here's how we break it down, and, you know, here's, you know, we live paycheck to paycheck, and then they shared their budget, and it was supposed to be the story about how even the richer, but no, they had, like, thousands allocated mm-hmm. towards travel, their kids' private school tuition, their long-term maxing out their IRAs, their 401ks, all of this. They were saving as part of that month-to-month budget. That's not month-to-month. People that don't understand the struggle mm-hmm. of being working class, I'm sorry. It does not make you a bad person or anything. It's just that you just can't understand. You just can't. It's like a lived experience that you need to go through.
They can't. So part of in that dynamic, though, I have a choice. I can feel intimidated. Mm-hmm. I can feel inadequate. I can feel insecure. I can feel all these things that I'm not doing well enough. Mm-hmm. Or I can maintain who I am, who I am, and not allow them to take my power away.
Well, yeah. And I think even,
that's a situation. That's what I mean. It's subtle.
Yeah. And I think a lot of times maybe not even consciously intended by the other party, but maybe even real nonetheless.
But look, I know I'm extreme, Michael. I know. And I say this to women, especially my clients all the time. Don't do what I would do. You have to look at your options and do what you would do.
Right.
Because we have to be respectful of everybody's process and everybody's stuff. Because I am radical. The same friend, one of them, who thought, it's going to show me how to live my life, had invited me out to lunch one day. Mm-hmm. And we're having to meet. Now, I have to get daycare. Like, the kids are in daycare. I got to pay for gas. I'm taking time off of my own work. Mm-hmm. I go there. He's a no-show.
Mm.
Okay. I got myself a salad and some lunch and went home. And He called me. He said, oh, sorry, I forgot. I was in a business meeting. I couldn't get out. And I said, yeah, I'm sending you an invoice. And I invoiced him.
Yeah.
For my time, my trouble, the lunch. And about 6 months later, you know, happened to be talking to him again. And I said, where's my $20? Now, back then, $20 to a single mom, you know, in like 1988 is a lot of money.
Right.
And so I said, where's my $20? He said, you're not going to let go of this, are you? I said, no, I am not. My time is worth something.
Right.
We were going to go for lunch. You offered, you were going to buy me lunch. That's a very nice thing. I've known you for a long time. You stood me up. You're going to buy me lunch. That's the price you pay for screwing up.
Yeah.
And again, I know I'm radical, Michael. And I hope some of you all out there are laughing. And because I think I'm funny. Some people find me really offensive. But no, I think I that's funny.
You know, I wouldn't say you've been offensive at all. I don't even know that, you know, I don't even know that I disagree with anything per se. I just, you know, I always think people don't have bad intentions as often as we think they do, you know, right off the bat. But
well,
that being said, you know, I still get your meaning and point. And also when it came to the budget, I mean, did you ever try just making more money? I mean, did anybody suggest that yet? Actually, that was stolen from a Simpsons episode. But
and see how I laugh at that? Because you can't intimidate me with that remark.
Nor was that my intention. That kind of, I'll just mansplain it here real quick. That kind of comedy was just to be so absurdist and so objectively just like, who would possibly say that kind of thing?
Well, but, people do.
Yeah.
There are some things and some people we just cannot relate to.
Well, that's just the thing, you know.
And that's fair enough. There are people I really, really like, but they either have too much money. Well, there's a lot of extremes in behavior, let me put it that way. And as much as you really want to like them, we've got nothing to talk about.
Yeah.
You know, I'm trying to pay my rent. I'm trying to get through a month. And you call me up and say you're mad at the bank because they wouldn't automatically give you $2.5 million to buy this land because haven't they seen your financials? Don't they know who I am? We got nothing to talk about, honey.
Yeah. You know, I had one friend who was quite wealthy that, you know, she always say, why aren't you ever going to get your passport? You need to get your passport. And I'm like, my passport? For what? When am I going to have money to travel internationally? Where do you think I'm going to go?
Well, that's it. But, and I know these are kind of, again, I'm using that word radical or extreme examples. But if you stop and think for a moment, everybody, in all those moments that you gave a piece of yourself away, where you felt inadequate and you felt, like you weren't living up to somebody else's expectation. Or, you know, something where you're trying to change yourself to suit somebody else. That is giving your power away. And that's my point tonight. It's like, okay, I'm going to take my power back, but what does that mean? How am I giving my power away?
Right.
And it's in those little subtle things of feeling fearful, inadequate, insecure. Look, maybe it's childhood stuff. Then take a look at it. You know, maybe it's, again, cognitive dissonance. Take a look at it.
Right.
And I know, I do know, especially to all the, you know, people in partnerships, I do know how scary that is to be in a partnership and, or a relationship, I should say, because you're not partnering. and you got to step out. Like, this just isn't working. And no matter how much you plan, how much you set a thing in motion, it's not working. One day you just got to go, you know, because it's like not good for your mental health, emotional health. And I do know how alarming and scary that is. But if it's staying for the price of your spirit, and there's an old saying that I love this, the worst lonely is the feeling of feeling alone and lonely when you're with somebody.
Mm-hmm.
I would rather feel lonely if I'm going to by myself.
Yeah, I get that.
I'd rather know my pain is my own pain, not mm-hmm. the pain I'm letting somebody else cause me.
Right.
So.
Oh, yeah, I totally get that.
You know, it's. So, and watch the subtleties. And if you can, in negotiating a relationship, whether that's a friendship or otherwise, if, you know, see if there's a way to approach a subject, hopefully in a way somebody else, because you're being understanding, you're being sensitive,
right,
that they can understand it, like through their eyes. And it's not about what they're doing so much as how you're feeling. And you can shift how you feel about it, provided they hear that you've had a moment.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe they need to make an adjustment. Fair enough. But you're doing that adjustment together. Because everybody is figuring it out.
Oh, for sure.
You know, everybody's figuring it out.
I mean, life's a heck of a thing. You know, we're all trying to figure it out. And that's, I think, yeah. when we realize that, when both parties in a relationship of any kind realize that, it makes things
Absolutely.
A lot better. You know,
when
we
Absolutely.
Give each other a little grace and cut each other a little slack. You know, so it's
fair enough to say, I don't know how to do this. I'm still learning.
Right. Yeah. 100%. 100%. But, you know, it has been a wonderful discussion. And, you know, as always, I can't, even though I'm trying real hard, I can't find anything really to disagree with. You know, like I said, I'm trying.
That's because I know everything.
Then I can't disagree with that.
I'm pulling a Michael.
I can't disagree with you because, you know, especially if you say you're pulling on me, because obviously I do know everything. And I told you, we were talking before the program. I told her about that one time I was wrong back in 2005. But, you know, getting aside.
Anybody want a card? Throw your name in there because we'll draw some cards.
That's what I was meandering to. I will tell you that my girlfriend and I have a lot of fun, both because we both joke that, you know, we're both always right. So. You know, we have a lot of fun with the back and forth, the wit, the banter. It's one of my favorite things, you know. Like, if I say something ridiculous, I'm not trying to get you to go along with me. I'm trying to get you to, you know, to spar. But I love it. Anyway, so yeah, we're getting some cards. It's been a good night. Actually, just throughout, today is the 21st anniversary of Hurricane Charley that ripped through Southwest Florida, that came right over Charlotte Harbor, where we live here. That was life-changing, so just was reminded of that today. It was 18 when that happened, and I'm 58 now.
plus two is five. Okay. Yeah.
I know, right? But no, so I think we're getting some cards in here. I know Dr. Jeff is throwing his name in the ring there. So, yeah, it's been a great discussion. You know, be yourself. Always be your true, authentic self. And if somebody's trying to stop that, be wary. Huge red flags. So.
Yep.
All right. So let's see what we have for Dr. Jeff. And for you, I have past, present, future. That's number four, past, present, future. The three universal laws of personal responsibility are: one, you are accountable for your past, present, and future. Two, don't expect others to do for you what you can and should do for yourself. Three, don't do for others what they can and should do for themselves. Remember, present circumstances reflect past choices. Embrace responsibility and move forward with renewed vigor.
Seven of hearts. So the seven of cups is about dreams, wishes. But it also indicates like a difference between, you have to look at what's realistic and not realistic. Some things are just pipe dreams versus a real dream. So it's past, present, future. What is it that you truly want, Jeff? Like, what's in you that would be the most important? So I would say write a list of things down, and it'll be the top three that you keep coming back to, or it's the bottom three. I had my old late teacher Frank would say, if you're making a list of things to do, it's the last one that's most important rather than the first one, because we often deceive ourselves. So, yeah.
All right. Good
I hope
stuff.
That helps in some way. Just what's really your dream here? So Kevin said he had a tough day, so let's pick a card for Kevin.
Absolutely, and hope this helps Kevin. For you, I have number 45, Inspiration Motivation. Not too shabby. Ooh. Inspiration and motivation come from hope. Motivation means finding a meaningful reason to do something. Look within for inspiration leading to motivation by reflecting on your goals and the life you want to live. Drive and accomplishment may be missing from your life, or your life may revolve too heavily around it. Remain balanced, inspired, and motivated with the vigor of positive energy. Hope that connects, Kevin.
Well, you know, Kevin, the King of Diamonds, King of Pentacles with that. Okay, you had a tough day. And we all know, I don't need to say it for the archives. You know, some matters that you've taken care of. I want to say don't be disheartened. I'm reminded of, and again, when these stories come to my mind, it's for a reason, some way it applies. I knew a lawyer once who never lost a case. And I asked her, how does that happen? She goes, well, that's easy. I just think like a judge. And when you think like a judge and give the judge what they need, not what you want, not what you think is anything emotional or this is right or wrong, but you go by the letter of law or the basic interpretation of law, then she says it makes it easy. So I guess you take that and run with it as you will. You know, Kevin, I'm encouraged by the King of Diamonds. I want to say don't give up. Just hang in there. Just see it from a different point of view. Inspiration, motivation. So it's like the fire. That's what I want to say. I hope that helps.
Good stuff. Good stuff.
Well, we have our card keeper, Wendy, next.
Wendy, for you get number one. I always love when we pull number one. Uh-huh. Number one, perfection. Always remember that you are perfect just as you are, a perfect work in progress, always changing and always growing. Today is a reflection of past choices, and tomorrow is changeable by choices made today. This card may indicate that a situation is perfect or perhaps not perfect for you. Embrace all mistakes as they are vital to your growth while striving for a better future. Reflect to see what contributes to your perfect journey and move forward gracefully.
And I got the Nine of Pentacles, otherwise known as the Nine of Diamonds, which is satisfaction in and around the home, your environment. But in this case, it's like you might be tweaking a few things that give you more order in your life, a better flow. I'm kind of seeing like a, you know, it's like when you can move from room to room and it's easier and you're not tripping over things. So it might be a few things that you're tweaking that allow the flow of your day better, the flow of your week better. And again, that helps to regain some more, I guess, back to order. You know, is that. So it is perfect as it is, and there's satisfaction in that. Mm-hmm. But in this, that feeling is just tweaking a couple of things.
Mm.
You know, I have to break this up here for a second. Dr. Mike, you're a funny guy. There is only 134 days till Christmas.
He's not wrong. Well, I'm gonna take his word on that, to be honest. I haven't counted him up, but.
And, of course, he's adding a little thing in there. Just remember, if frogs had wings, they would not bump their butt when they hop. You know, we do have some characters come into the chat.
It is true.
So, we have Jackie next.
Jackie, you have number 21, Insight and Wisdom. Wisdom is the successful application of knowledge using experience and understanding. Insight is discernment in seeing the underlying truth. This may be time to look deep into your inner character and underlying truth to understand motives and reasons. Insight, wisdom, and acceptance of the true nature of a present situation or individual is necessary to gain a deeper understanding, as well as to discover potential solutions.
Well, you know, the four of wands or the four of clubs In all of the tarot, I tend to think of that one as the only marriage card. Now, marriage can be an agreement. It doesn't have to be a marriage, as in marriage. It can be an agreement. It could be a business arrangement. It could any of these things. So it's like insight and wisdom into any agreements that you have right now, Jackie. If something doesn't feel right, investigate a little further. You know, when you just get a feel about something, and just, again, you got to go with the feel and just watch for little things that unfold. So if something is not meeting your satisfaction, then you address it. Again, you know, as Michael reminded us, if it's preference, well, whatever. But if it's a matter of principle, then you take that up. Because, again, I feel like you're still in a bit of this transition, mm-hmm. you know, and which is really positive. It's really great. But other people might not like it so much. That's what happens. Well, we're really happy for you, but that, how does that affect us? You know, what? So I really like this. I find it very encouraging. You're just kind of reassessing agreements that you have.
Yep, good
That's
stuff.
Cool. Thanks, Kevin. He said, thanks for the encouragement, and he'll keep the intuitive message in mind and roll with that, whatever that is. So, yeah, we have to remember that the universe isn't giving us a hard time. People give us a hard time.
True enough.
The universe is always on everybody's side. But we live in that cause and effect, action, reaction. It's a natural law.
Yeah.
Sometimes we don't know what we've done consciously mm-hmm. to understand the reaction. And that's the whole point of perfection that you got for Wendy, right? Mm-hmm. Everything is perfect. It's exactly in acting in response to everything we've invested.
Right.
And so, you know, you stub your toe, well, you were clumsy and you just didn't watch where you were going.
Right.
And that's a response. So I want to encourage everybody. None of us are victims. The universe is not doing anything to us. And if people are doing things to us, it's they're either unconscious or
you know,
something's wrong.
And that's exactly. You know, I'm not always one to push, you know, sayings that you might have heard from any famous religions or anything, but you know, the phrase, forgive them for they know not what they do, kind of applies, because if they were aware enough, smart enough, and knew enough, they wouldn't be doing what they're doing, you know? And that's just kind of the bottom line. And maybe it takes a couple lifetimes. I know, Vicky, you got a few under your belt. I don't know. Maybe I can be wise instead of just so darn funny one of these days if I have a few more lives under my belt. But, man, that just seems like a long time.
No, Michael, I'm just not from this planet.
Oh, hey, that makes sense. I get it. I can see that. Yeah.
You know what I mean?
No, absolutely. But by which I mean, you know, it...
Yeah. I hear you, Michael.
Yeah. It's true. A complicated world. None of us really know what we're doing. We're all making it up as we go along, by and large. And, you know, I'm going to fall back to one of my phrases, too. Most people are wrong about most things most of the time. Don't just take somebody's at their word, because just because somebody says something doesn't make it true. And that means if that's negative self, you know, talk about you, if that's something that's encouraging your own negative self-talk, that, who makes them right, you know?
Yeah. You know? Well, again, Dr. Mike says you'll never fix stupid.
Here, I'm a try.
I would like to give everybody just a little bit of, I don't know if it's advice, but maybe a really strong suggestion. When you encounter people who don't make sense, mm-hmm. you know what I mean? In your world, it just doesn't make sense. Do not feed it. Just don't feed it. Put a lid on it, walk away. Because as long as that has, you know, a platform, it's going to yell louder. And it's contagious for
right.
those who are like that. It's just put a lid on it.
Right.
It's no, you can't have a voice here. No. Not accepting it. It's how you raise kids.
Yeah.
Like, that's not acceptable. Sorry.
Yeah.
So I'm just saying, don't give it a platform.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. Know your worth, you know. Yeah. And balance things out. You know, don't get too cocky, you know. Realize we all have learning to do. We all have growing to do.
Yeah.
You know, so it's a balancing act. Lord knows I'm struggling with it every day. So thank you, everybody, for being here. Thank you, everybody, for your contributions. Dr. Vicky, as always, thank you for putting up with me most of all.
Nothing to put up with, Michael.
That, I'm pretty sure it takes a PhD in and of itself to deal with me for an hour. So I thank you for that. And again, do your best out there. Keep your power. Don't give it away. Don't be somebody else's person. Be your own person. And I can't go to the end here without saying any last words, Dr. Mickey.
Of course. Don't let them push you around out there, people.
You got it. So thank you again, everyone. Hope you have a wonderful week. Can't wait to see you next week. Don't know what we're going to be talking about just yet, but we'll throw out an email if we get something real good. Until then, listen, think, learn, grow, and live. Good night, everybody.
Good night, everyone.